starting in verse 17.
What, starting where earlier?
11:17.
But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. And he's not talking about the house, is oikos. And oikos is the one of the three words for the temple. It's also for your body. So he's speaking metaphorically of you. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. Now do you understand what he's saying? Why will his sons be their judges? Their sons be their judges.
They're cast out devils by somebody's name.
Yeah.
And they'll be saying, my son is casting them out by devils.
Right, and so the point of it is that they would have not only the house of the Pharisees, but the house between the sons or the children and their fathers will be divided against itself. And yeah. So that's why that part of it is so important. But the real part is, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. And what he's saying is, he's saying that his purpose was to defeat or destroy Satan, so that you, as a house, the strong man that has been in control of the house through his minions, your minds, the strong man is gone. Now you can be in, you can, Christ can be revealed in you. This is why this is such an incredibly important parable. Amen?
Amen.
Well, let's just go for some of the words. Let's talk about, in verse 20, the finger of God. It's used, especially at the time of Christ, but it was also used since the King James Bible. The finger of God is a metaphor for the power of God. And the point here in verse 20, we haven't got there yet, but if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you, is come. And you have to understand, that means Messiah, the messianic age is here. It's not going to come. The messianic age is defined by a bunch of things. And you got to hear this. The main one that you have to come to grips with and really, really, really see is by one offering you have been perfected forever. Now your mind is never going to believe that. By one offering, you have been perfected forever. Now your mind has to. Your mind can't stand that. Your mind can't You are in eternity. Now, if you try to change perfection, you have imperfection.
Is that because the mind thinks that there is something else that you need to do or we need to do to be perfect?
Yeah, the only thing you have to do is repent. But you have to repent of this thing at all times. It's not, oh, I got caught doing something, so I'm going to say I'm sorry. That's not repentance. That's the repentance of the world. Repentance of God is repentance not to be repented of. That means you have seen, you've died with him on the cross, you rose in him on the resurrection. There's one faith, one baptism, one resurrection, one death, on and on and on. But you walk in deception. You're thinking you try to be something you're not. Just be you.
And you do that with the certainty of what you said in the beginning, that you have been perfected already. So
there's nothing your mind can come against. Your mind can't come against, you've been perfected by wandering. Your mind can't come against, it's finished. Your mind can't come against everything in the universe is perfect, exactly as it should be. None of these things can your mind come against. Your mind cannot come against the idea that it is sin to think that the condition you're in should be different than it is. On and on and on. The kingdom of God is here. It's not going to come, it's here. And this was 2,000 years ago. The only thing left to do is to recognize the evil one. And just as you, I hope you wouldn't sit around and believe what the devil, if he in some holograph appeared, you wouldn't believe him. Why do you believe your mind? Why do you use your mind to try to understand the things of God? Your mind is cursed. Your emotions are cursed.
It's carnal. It's
meat. Well, it's worse than carnal. It's cursed. It's anathema. But you sit around and think about it. And you sit around and muse on yourself. And you sit around and think of what we would be if only. Or if that hadn't happened, then I would have been. There's no more past and there's no more future. It's now. The kingdom of God has come upon you. And you've redeemed the time because the days are evil. If you find yourself in a position where you see that you're doing something that is not of faith, it's not a matter. You have to give that to God. You can't justify yourself. If you justify yourself, again, you are they that justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination unto God. Remember, the counting of the omers, the other point. Everything, the 49 gates of impurity. And every one of those 49 gates are something that you think is good. The golden cup that the whore has in her lap and the snake has on his back. It's gold because everything in that cup is something the human being wants. But let's just look at that. Revelation 17. What? And there came one of the seven angels, which had seven vials, and talked with me, saying, come here, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore, that sitteth upon many waters. Now I'm asking you, I'm begging you to come here and see the judgment of the great whore that sits upon the human race.
What chapter are you in?
17. 2. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. You understand the wine of her fornication? The wine, the fornication from God's standpoint is going any place else other than God for your needs. The human race has been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-covered beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns, the same as the beast in Revelation, that John saw in Revelation 13. The same as Daniel saw.
What are those names?
What?
Names of blasphemy. What are
the full of the names of blasphemy? Every word that doesn't come from the foundation of Jesus Christ is blasphemy. Every thought that doesn't originate in the blood of Christ and his finished work is blasphemy. Every time you give your mind importance, it's blasphemy. Blasphemy is a legal term that means you have denied the foundation. You have denied Jesus Christ. It's both. Remember, if once you name the name, it goes all the way back to Genesis. God told them to name the names as the test to see if that seeing of separation would cause them to want to be as gods instead of living in dependence.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the same test.
So
now, we've given a million names in 1,000 languages. It's all blasphemy. Well, it's all because it's not a faith. The 7 heads and 10 horns, there's 7 high places. That's each of those is a head. Each of those high places has 10 horns. That's the 70, the Sanhedrin of your mind, of your Jerusalem that now is. The counselors that have lied to you your whole life. But they're idiots when you see the finished work of Christ. They're meaningless babble. And upon her forehead was a name written. Oh, wait a minute. And that woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked out with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. Everything in that cup, the golden cup, was something you want. And it sounds so righteous to want it. You can justify yourself 10,000 ways, but God has established the bounds of your habitation from before you were born, to cause you to reach today so that you might hear. And the angel is telling us to come see this finished work. Come see this whore that you've had dealings with. Come see and come out of her, my people, and touch not the unclean thing. Amen? Upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. I don't know how it can be any clearer. God has come upon you, not will come upon you someday. It is come. And it's only your rebellion from your seeing the fullness of it. I know you don't like the word rebellion, but rebellion is the opposite of discipleship. Anybody have any response? The kingdom of God is come upon you. There's no more future. There's no more past. He's seated on the mercy seat, under the wings of the cherubim, the first source of all things. You've been perfected by one offering. Everything is finished. Everything is perfect. You own all things.
Mine doesn't like any of that stuff.
That's why you bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, casting down every imagination in high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ. Your speech, both thought and word, be seasoned with salt. Think and speak only from the oracle of God, from eternity, from under the wings of the cherubim. But you can't do that. That's why out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. What your mouth speaks is a revelation of where you are. And you're a fool if you're not in the mercy seat. Dumber than a box of rocks. Is that clear? Is there any wiggle room that I've left anybody?
Well, that's why we prophesy. Not to be right, but to see.
So you can see your crap.
Yeah. You know what to prevent.
What? All right, that's me for 2 weeks or more.
That's all we get.
All right.
Take it, big guy.